Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We're on. Podcast is on.
Do you know that sometimes you get accused of being a little bit 80s radio DJ, Tim?
No, I'm not aware of this at all.
Well, you know, do you know when you do like your charts? Well, no, sorry. What I mean to say is you do a good impression. Do you know when you do like the chart rundown?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, I could do an impression of someone doing a cheesy 80s DJ. I don't believe I ever sound like a... Hey, this is like saying, you know, What was that guy that did the brought down the banks?
Nick Leeson.
Billions. Yeah, you go like you're quite like Nick Leeson in your ethics of being a financial advisor.
Well, I've got a new one. How do you like this one? I think Ugo Mornier might have finished a certain other podcast with top of the charts and in your hearts or something like that.
Really?
Deep in your heart. Yeah, something like that. Anyway, if you're on Facebook Live, you'll notice that I am in full rugby regalia. You are looking smart as ever. And Tim is doing his show in London. Aren't you, Tim?
I don't know what you're talking about. I wouldn't dream of pre-recording some of my Virgin Radio show in order to record a podcast. I would never be so unprofessional. I don't know what you're talking about. It's 11 o'clock at night, yeah?
Exactly right, mate.
You're in the shipping container, right, Tim?
Yep, that's it, in the Egg Chaser shipping container, not in a radio studio.
Exactly. Well, let's very professionally put our hands in, pod on three. One, two, three.
Pod.
Hello, and welcome to the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. I'm JB, in the studio, joined, of course, with Phil, as always. Hello, Phil.
Hello, JB.
And Tim, shirking his duties once more, down in London, making an honest crust for himself. Hello, Tim.
Hello, JB.
Hello. Now, boys, it's a very special day today.
Go on.
It's February 14th.
It's the day before Steak and Blowjob Day.
Exactly right. Well, to celebrate February 14th, I have bought me and Phil some truffles. So here you are, Phil. Here is a Chambon and Walker truffle for you.
Champagne truffles.
They are champagne truffles, of course. I'll have one too.
My favourite.
And also halfway through the season. So let's open up with this. What has been the point of the season that you've loved the most so far?
I would say every minute up until the new law directives came in.
Oh.
They've not been as bad as we feared.
No, do you know what? They have... I know. I didn't like the Johnny Hill red, as we're talking domestic rugby on this podcast. We should reiterate that, actually. If you're expecting to hear about Six Nations stuff, we've already done that podcast. It's in our feed. Hit subscribe and you'll get them all. But this is about domestic matters. I didn't like the Johnny Hill red card for Exeter Chiefs, but...
I'm with you on that one, Tim.
But things that you did love, things that you've loved so far.
I love the last 3.5 to 4 minutes of the England-Wales game. I hated the rest of it, but I love that.
I think
genuinely one of the things I've loved the most is probably the best kit ever in the form of Harlequin's anniversary kit.
Oh, nice. I think the most excited I was, because we all get excited on Valentine's, right? Was knowing that Willie LaRue has entered the country and that he's going to be playing with Kirkley Beale in the Premiership.
That is exciting. Actually, I'll tell you my...
For the next couple of months, because Kirkley Beale, he's off.
Is he? I saw Checker was talking about him potentially going back.
Sorry, what? The Curtis Beale's off. From when?
He'll be leaving Wasps at the end of the season.
Really? Are you sure about that?
I'm pretty sure.
Wow, I thought he was on a 2-year contract.
Yeah, I think it's just a money thing.
But the money, you can't get more money in Australia than you can in the UK playing for Wasps, can you?
No idea.
It sounds unlikely.
The right place. So presumably Israel Folau is on equivalent or more.
No.
He's on a big...
I reckon he's on more than like...
Think of all the suitors for Israel Folau. Not only could he go to anywhere in Europe, he could also go to NRL or...
Dodgeball.
AFL.
Volleyball.
Yeah. American football. He could go
NBA.
Anywhere.
Yeah. Good shout. He must be on a bit.
Don't forget Brexit. That must have helped. That's probably helped the exchange rate. That might have helped Australian rugby.
Yeah, maybe. But I guess the biggest problem isn't the exchange rate over here. It's the exchange rate in France. I'd be surprised if he goes, but is that official now?
No. There's nothing official. There's just rumblings around.
Yeah, sort of checking.
I know nothing. I've not heard anything from any official source or anything. There's rumours and unsubstantiated rumour.
Okay, well let's go from beloved in the heart to absolutely heartbroken. Bit of news came through today.
Oh yes,
it's confirmed.
Yes,
the death of Northwest Rugby. Thanks, Fords. I mean, the Oldham, Manchester, the Northwest area gave you everything that you ever wanted. Mike made his living in rugby league, only down the road in Wigan. The Fords were brought up in Saddleworth, and how do they repay you? By going to Leicester. Cheers, lads. Great job. Great job. Well done. Hope you're proud of yourself.
So it is confirmed.
It is confirmed,
that
yeah.
George Ford.
Well, and I just want to say, we should make sure, you know... We should make sure that we just point out again, we're a small operation. We're just three mates that love the game of rugby and we punch well above our weight. We are the podcasting world's true underdog. And we were the first people to break the news that there would be a Burns Ford swap. Fact.
Well, who cares? I mean, I wish we hadn't broken it quite frankly. I think this is bad for the Premiership. I don't particularly like it. I don't see what Bath are getting out of this. Unless they've paid Freddie Burns a lot of money. And if they have paid Freddie Burns a lot of money, I still don't see what they're getting out of it.
So Bath presumably will free up some salary cap. Presumably.
No.
Because they're bringing in...
Well, no, Ford wasn't on big money.
But they're bringing in an inferior product. So it's got to be... You've got to free up some cap to bring someone else in. I don't... If he's on the same money or better than George Ford, and you're right, Tim, George Ford was on a very good deal... If the figures are correct, then this is a terrible move for Bath.
Well, it is an inferior player, but an inferior player the whole time.
Committed, yeah. I guess that is true.
Oh, I'm just looking at the Facebook live stream. JB, what are you wearing, mate?
I've just come in from training.
It's indecent,
goodness me,
isn't it?
Can I just say, if you're listening on the podcast, on the regular podcast via iTunes or Acast, do not go and watch the Facebook Live video.
It's behave.
Special Valentine's treat.
That's right,
for the
boys.
Lucky Facebook Live viewers.
Well, let's get back onto Ford, okay? So, allegedly, they've had to buy him out of his contract. Now, this is interesting because I've also heard that this counts towards their salary cap.
In what the transfer fee?
Yeah, this is what I've heard. It can't be right because
no.
The transfer fee is approaching a million, allegedly.
A million?
Approaching a million. Not a million, approaching a million.
But he's only got 1 year left on it.
Now, these are the rumours that I've heard. Now, these are completely unsubstantiated.
Okay. Because it doesn't make sense to me.
Well, no, because they would have to buy him out of his contract.
Yeah.
If that went against the salary cap, then you've got to wonder how much is he getting paid? And have they backloaded the deal so he gets more in
later years?
In later years when the salary cap gets higher. The other thing which is interesting about this is it was only announced fairly late on because Freddie Burns had decided he was only going to go for big money. So Freddie Burns is going to be equally well paid as George Ford.
Interesting. It makes it very interesting from Bath's perspective. I guess it does give them more time to line up either... another marquee player in a different position or another 10.
Yeah, well,
Well, Curtly, if a Curtly Beale was available, that would be absolutely spot on for Bath.
Yeah. Now, could that happen? I'm not sure that could happen.
It couldn't happen as a marquee player.
No, it couldn't.
But it could theoretically happen if they had the room in the cap elsewhere.
Which I'd be staggered
I'm thinking, I'm looking at this, just on this one, I'm looking at this and thinking Leicester need another quality 10.
Because Owen Williams has gone as well, hasn't
he? Yeah.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah, because they have got young lads coming through in certain positions, but I can't recall seeing a young lad coming through at 10 at Leicester.
No, you're right.
Other than
Owen Williams, what are the chances of Joe Ford arriving from Yorkshire Carnegie and Mike Ford arriving from Toulon?
Well, yeah, fairly high, I'd guess. Fairly high. Joe Ford would be a good signing because that's what they need, isn't it? They need an LV Cup fly-off.
Well, LV Cup to bring someone through. They need a Premiership level fly half.
Well, is that in kind of not exactly?
Yeah, no.
But there again, they have.
But when Ford's away on international duty, you need a high quality backup or at least a Premiership level backup.
So here's a hypothetical: if you had to pick, let's say it was Joe Ford or someone of that like quality, not of top Premiership quality. If you had George Ford but Joe Ford when Ford wasn't away, or you had Freddie Burns with Reece Priestland. When he wasn't available, which would you say was a better two fly halves overall?
Good question.
Freddie and Reece, I would say.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure Freddie Burns will win that spot.
Priestland had a decent game on Friday night.
Yeah, I think he will, Tim. But I'm not sure. It's not like George Ford and Reece Priestland,
you're
is
right.
It?
You're right.
So, you know, they might have a very expensive signing not playing.
Well, two, because Priestland is not cheap.
Yeah. No. Mm. No, that's true.
Interesting times.
It will be interesting times, indeed.
Well, I have it on good authority that Ben Spencer will be signed next week for sale.
For sale.
And this doesn't go away. Neither did the Ford rumour, to be fair. But this does sound like it's going to happen.
So this has gone from there's two conflicting strong claims that Ben Spencer is A, going, and B, not going to sale.
Yeah.
And this is now he's going. JB's calling it. Ben Spencer is coming to sale.
Tell you what, I hope so.
You see, I'm looking at this from the outside, and I'm thinking where I really applaud George Ford for not worrying about the money because he could have earned if rumours are to be.
But what
true,
about the game, Tim? What about the game?
He could have earned significantly more money by going to sale. Ben Spencer is probably going to sale for an absolute bucket load of cash, and fine, fair play to him, but I think it's the wrong decision.
It's not that simple for Ben Spencer, I don't think, though, because he won't be first choice at Saracens for 3-4 years, something like that. And if he needs game time, he's a very talented player. He needs to be starting week in, week out.
And
so
he's a kicker.
I actually think this does show more ambition, just in terms of starting.
Tell you what, oh, God, it annoys me. Ben Spencer's, if they get him, a tremendous signing. But I'm having one source saying 1,000,000% not. And I've got another source saying it is on the desk in sale and it's done.
Well, let's just talk about some stuff that's definitely happened or happening. Mark Bennett's going to Edinburgh.
Yeah.
That's a tremendous signing.
Going up the M8.
I'm a little bit surprised he's staying in Scotland because I would have thought there'd be a few bigger money offers on the table.
Yeah, and it does kind of kick him in the teeth a bit, doesn't it, this whole situation?
Because they've brought in Hugh Jones, who's usurped him for Scotland and has now usurped him for Glasgow.
Yeah, it just feels like he's got a really raw deal out of this, unless they've bumped him up with a bit more cash.
He's having to do a Duncan Weir.
Yeah, off you go, mate.
Yeah.
So, like, so Edinburgh, who I think are now Glasgow B, is that right? Or Glasgow A? Yeah. They're probably Glasgow B, because Gloucester are Glasgow A.
And that works because they're sort of very united, those two cities. There's no kind of friction or
that's a good
or,
point actually
tension between the two cities.
Yeah. So that doesn't sound like a great one for Mark Bennett personally, but I hope he's got a lot more cash out of it and it's a great signing for Edinburgh.
And we haven't got confirmation of where they're going, but Gordon Reid and Josh Strauss are also leaving Glasgow.
Josh Strauss is going to sale.
There's a lot of talk about France as well.
Going to sale.
Okay,
that is good, and there's going to be two more.
Okay,
so are you willing that? Are you willing that to happen, JB?
No, that is happening.
Yeah. No, I'd heard whispers of the same thing. Luatua is confirmed; he's going to be going to Bristol for the start of next season. That'll be a fine player for the Championship.
Interesting player for the Championship. It's interesting that a couple of All Blacks, like last year, Ben Franks. Sorry, yeah, Ben Franks.
Ben Franks.
Ah, yeah. I was wondering what you were saying.
Ben Franks.
Yes, I know the guy.
Yeah, signing for Irish on a 3-year deal. And now Luatua, who will be a handy player. Yeah, very talented.
It's almost like they think they're not going down. But mind you, Irish thought that and they went down.
Yeah,
so there you go. Very it does true. Happen. Well,
Bristol are very proud because they say we've beaten off strong competition from a number of other clubs who are interested. And I mean, I'm presuming that's because Luatua loves Ashton Gate and the city of Bristol.
See,
he wants to immerse himself.
You are so. You're so contrary, Tim, because you're so happy to say, don't go for the cash is bad. George Ford went for the cash to Leicester. He could have got more cash at Sale, but what about the good of the game? What about the good of the game of coming back and having another strong team in the Premiership? And he only went to Sale to get the England money. We all know that.
No, I hear that, but he'll get more money by being a continued England player. He'll get $22,000 a game, which I think it'll do better for his career overall. And he'll... got more chance of winning trophies, but anyway,
selfish.
Willie LaRue, as JB's already said, is in the country.
Yeah.
And what other news?
Jack Roberts.
Where's Jack Roberts going?
Jack Roberts gone to Cardiff Blues.
Is that right? That's not a bad sign. It's not a great signing. It's not a bad signing.
It's presumably because he's
Welsh.
Just predicting that. At some point, Leicester's centre worries have to end, and they'll actually be able to field two fit centres that are not him and Matt Smith.
Yeah, I don't think that's a. It's all right, I guess. I mean, I'll get more games.
He's a squad player. Yeah. He's not an international player. He's just a good solid player.
Do you know what move this reminds me of? Reminds me of when Blaine Scully went. So Blaine Scully was a really good player at Leicester, and I think Jack Roberts is a really good player. When he went to Cardiff,
he's a decent player.
Well, no, I thought Blaine Scully was really good. I think he might have even captained side a few times.
No, I'm saying Jack Roberts is decent.
Yeah. Makes an impact. And then he went to Cardiff and not really heard or seen of him much since. So that was that.
Yes,
I think that'll probably be that as well.
Any more rumours? Well, no, not rumours, but something confirmed for you, Tom Arscott. Confirmed he did go for a family meal.
Yes.
He met his brother in a hotel. Confirmed.
What do you say about this, boys?
It's interesting. So Sale passed it on for an alleged betting and corruption offence. And the RFU have confirmed that there was no evidence of a betting offence, so it didn't break any of the RFU rules. But it seems that they are kind of...
It did break a rule. You're not allowed to tell other teams what you're up to.
Well, he was cleared of the betting offence.
Yeah, he was cleared of that. It was a serious one.
He didn't break a rule in that. He broke an ethical code in that.
Right.
It was a distinct difference.
Well, yeah. I mean, whatever it is, it does kind of feel like the RFU don't really want to punish him, so they've written him a letter. Because they don't strike me as the sort of organisation that would go easy on sort of, a corruption type thing.
Yeah, and they've been very clear. It's not corruption, it's not betting, it's not broken those specific rules, but they've reminded all players of their obligation to their employers effectively. But interestingly, they've not really commented on whether Sale were right or not to terminate his contract. But it does seem that they are kind of satisfied and they're not going to step in and they're not going to do anything
If that was Denny Solomona, what do you think would have happened? Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the funny thing is about Arscott is I think he is fairly highly rated at Sale. They use him as a kicking option. Quite often you see him on the team sheet and you're like, why is he there? And you're like, we need an extra peg. And they don't seem to have replaced that ability. They must have felt rather strongly about it. And apparently he has stood up and apologised to the lads for what he's done and blah, 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 blah,
blah. That's not even the point I just made. I'm just saying.
Well,
but
no,
I'm just saying, it probably happens in every job, in every walk of life, but they're very, very, like, ethics and being so strongly against X, Y, or Z and so strong that they would sack a player on principle. It applies because it's Tom Arscott. Had it been...
That's a very cynical...
Denny Solomona, they'd never have done it.
Why do you think Tom Arscott's such a bad player?
It's very cynical, that Tim.
Just throwing him away.
You think that Denny Solomona would have been sacked?
I'm not saying I disagree with you. It's just a very cynical view.
It is a very cynical
view. Do you know
what?
I think because Sale don't have many stars, I wouldn't be surprised if Denny Solomona... No, he wouldn't. He wouldn't.
No.
No, he wouldn't.
I don't think he would have either.
No.
I think the talent stays.
Apparently, there's no hard feelings, but he has done the whole standing up in front of the squad, told everyone what he's done, that kind of thing. And they just had no choice but to bin him off, I guess. Kind of like the way the All Blacks had no choice but to humiliate Aaron Smith.
Yes.
So there you go. I think the hand was forced, mate. But, from here on in, surely this has to end now. He can just carry on with his rugby career, I would hope.
Presumably, yeah, because someone will sign him.
Yeah, he's an all right player.
He's not a bad player.
Bristol sounds like a good place.
Talking of sailing a man on the way out, the Mooge is taking his drones. He can go and fly over an airfield in South Wales now. He's off to Ospreys.
Yeah, fine. With immediate effect as well.
Fine.
There you go. Happens.
Yeah, good. They've got a mediocre scrummager who looks incredible, but doesn't play incredibly.
Likes a beer or two.
Yeah.
And some brisket. Yeah.
Enjoy Swansea. Any others?
Yeah. Big sign-in.
Go on.
Biggest sign-in of the week.
Go on.
Jono Gibbs.
Oh, what do you make of this?
I'm excited.
Why?
So, for quite a while, Ulster's pack has been weak.
Mm-hmm.
Lack some strength, lack some ball carriers. Nick Williams left an enormous hole. Absolutely enormous hole.
Yeah. I was going to say Kankowski, but he never signed. It's Kurtzier. How do you say his name?
Kurtzier. So there's two very good bits of news for Ulster this week. One, Kurtzier started his first game and made the most carries of any Ulster player in a Pro 12 game.
Wow, did he?
26 carries in a game.
Good knowledge. Yes.
He had a decent performance. It was his first game in 9 months or so since ACL, I think it was, injury. So a horrific injury. Just very good to have him back. And then Jono Gibbs signs. And my hope...
For people that might not know Jono Gibbs, Phil, just give us a little brief lowdown on his credentials.
Younger brother of Scott impressive. Gibbs. Is that the guy?
One of the many Gibbs brothers. So Jono Gibbs... All Black flanker 10 or so years ago, 10, 12 years ago.
Less than 20 caps?
8 caps, yep. I think. Yeah. Played for the Chiefs, played a number of games for the Chiefs. In 2007, maybe, started coaching at Leinster as the forwards coach. Oversaw the forwards pack that won 3 Heineken Cup titles and numerous Pro 12 titles. And since then has been working at Clermont as forwards coach as well. So the man knows a thing or two about forward play and building winning packs. And that is exactly what Ulster need. They need a tough enforcing pack.
So why have they not got a tough enforcing pack at the moment? Who is... who is the current setup? Sorry, it just seems something quite funny on my phone.
I'm not too sure. So you've currently got Les Kiss and Neil Doak, but I'm not too sure who the forwards coach is. But in terms of actual personnel, they've got a few decent players, but not enough strength and depth and kind of not enough drive and discipline, it feels like to me. One of the things they have lacked is a big ball carrier since Nick Williams, as we'd already mentioned. So hopefully we can bring a couple of additional players in to supplement Kurtzier. And next season have a very good, very aggressive pack to give the right ball for Pietau, Stockdale, who had a great game on the weekend, Trimble, Gilroy, who scored a hat-trick for Ireland at the weekend, and all of those centres.
Okay, so you've basically given us a little bit of a rundown of what happened this week with Kurtzier. Why don't we talk about what actually happened in the Premiership?
Okay.
So let's probably start with Tim, because you were at the Bath game.
Yes, I was working there. Really, really good game. A keenly contested match. And I have every sympathy for Jim Mallander after his team put in a really cracking performance. Great comeback in the second half.
Yeah.
The lead changed hands in the last 5 minutes a bunch of times. Really exciting from that perspective. And I thought they were slightly hard done by with the decisions. I feel like the try, the winning try for Bath, which was an incredible try from Chris Cook, who gets a bit of stick on the podcast from time to time. he finished on playing on the wing, finished absolutely brilliantly. But
now, did he score and immediately whinge that there's no one in support and he had to finish it himself? That strikes me like a very Chris Cook thing to do.
All I can say is I felt the pass was possibly forward, at least probably deserved to have been checked. I would have been a bit pig sick if I was Northampton.
So there was that for the final try, and then there was the two shots at goal as well in the 79th and 80th minute.
Again, much like with Wales at the weekend, where Jonathan Davies just kicked the ball out. Say with Lee Dixon, don't fart around with the ball, just kick it out.
Yeah,
he kicked it. The ball got half charged down. Bath got the ball back. And then brainless penalty from...
Callum Clark,
yeah.
Doesn't care, totally though, does he? Brainless. He's off Saracens.
Yeah, brainless and Callum Clark.
Oh, dear.
But a really good game. There's been a lot of good games as well. That Wasps-Exeter game was immense.
Yes, Wasps-Exeter 35-all.
Do you know what? I'm going to disagree with you. I didn't think it was immense. So there.
In what respect?
No one wanted to win it. Like, yeah, they were scoring, but where was the defending? Like, every time there was a scoring opportunity, it felt like, yeah, go on then, and then we'll score another one. It felt like a very an Exeter type of game.
Exeter, you mentioned it before, Tim, but Exeter were restricted because of the Johnny Hill red card 5 minutes into the second half.
Yeah, that's the point.
Didn't like at all.
I'm with you on this, Tim.
Talk me through it, Tim.
Well, I mean, there was a. It wasn't even a. It was kind of a maul. There was a few players, a couple on each side, grabbing each other, and Johnny Hill went in, hit a player, and hit Ashley Johnson, who had the ball.
Yeah.
hit with a shoulder, wrapped the arms, but the shoulder was kind of a roundabout, just top of the chest. Kind of height, bit of connection with the chin, but he had to go over the top of another Wasp player in order to get him. So he avoided hitting with the arm the Wasp player that was next to Johnson. As a result, there was contact. Yeah, fine, under the new laws, if you must, penalty. If you must, yellow card. Red card was just so harsh.
What goes on?
So just let me give you my very quick view of it. He did hit him in the head. If I'm looking at these offences, I like to kind of look at separate offences. So that, one, did he hit him in the head? Yes, he did make contact with the head. Rob Baxter said he made contact shoulder to chin. Then two, is there anything else? Is there recklessness? Did he not wrap his arms? Was he a swinging arm? Was he off his feet? None of those things applied. He wrapped his arms. It wasn't ludicrous. He didn't dive in. And so, for me, it was a penalty or a yellow card. Mm. It was a penalty, definitely. There was foul play under the new laws. I just don't see why that particular offence should have been a red card. So I think the ref got it wrong.
Don't know. Maybe.
Jay, you're playing on your phone. You seem very distracted tonight.
No.
Do you know what it is, Phil? I think he's just a little bit concerned that I think maybe he's just realised he's on a promise. Bearing in mind that they've got a young 1-year-old daughter of JB and Layla. And Layla's messaged on our Facebook live feed saying, hoping you keep your socks on later, JB.
Banter. I've got the mother-in-law here as well, so who knows. Do you know who I think really struggles to integrate into this Wasps team when you watch him? Kyle Eastmond. He does a reasonable job, but he's nothing like as dangerous as I expected him to be. And he's like the complete opposite to Jimmy Gopeth.
It's interesting because they seem to have this... They don't seem to know what their best back line is.
No.
So Gopeth was starting at 13.
Yeah, that makes no sense.
I know.
How does that make any sense?
I know. you're right, but it can't help just changing your personnel all the time. And you've effectively got three playmakers there. And they'll sometimes put Dennis Cipriano at fullback and on the wings when he's defending, and they'll move Gopeth into 10 for kicking. And just that inconsistency, it can't be good for these players.
No.
For the cohesiveness of the
unit. I'm really bored by this.
What? You don't like talking about rugby?
No, I love talking about rugby, but we're getting into in-depth chats about but the different combinations of
Wasps. I enjoy that.
Batman.
That's what I'd like. I mean, I was just going to say this about Jimmy Gopeth. A tremendous signing, and it just shows how much more flexibility you get with him and how Kyle Eastman doesn't quite fit into the team. It wouldn't surprise me if he does leave the end of the season.
You heard it here first.
Yep, there you go.
And where would he be going, JB? Mention it again. Go on, mention again.
Who needs a centre? Well, do you know what? Let's talk about a different centre.
Okay.
Let's talk about Ryan Mills.
Okay.
Why?
Why? Because...
Go on.
For a start, I thought he was outstanding.
He was great. They've missed him.
He kicked very well.
Did he kick? I'm not entirely sure, actually.
8 out of 9?
Yeah, it's 7 out of 8 or 8 out of 9, something like that. So, fantastic kicker. Not even a 10, it's got to be said. More of a centre.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
It just made me think, if you're looking at centres who have a lot of promise and need just game time in the right system, it's got to be Ryan Mills. I think this boy could be really, really good.
I think he's got a lot of talent. It'll be interesting to see whether he stays there, because having brought in Gary Gold, and Carl Hogg in the post-match interview attributed the win to some of the changes that Gary Gold has made. Yeah, basically Gary Gold. It'll be interesting to see how they use him and whether they can get the best out of him. It appears that they can get the best out of him.
Now, yeah, I mean, sounding a little bit like myself now, I'm worried if I'm going to get carried away because they've won one game, I'm going to tell you that they're the best team in the Premiership. But there is something to be said here. They've got a lot of star power back. Oliveira, or however you say his name, was playing. He's got a handful of spin caps. Olafia, thank you. And of course...
Hughard.
Hughard, or Hughard, or whoever it is. That's a big deal.
Yes. Him being back is a big deal.
BBT comes in after the internationals. And all of a sudden, these guys
Bryce
aren't going to even
panel fit and up and running.
Exactly. So I just wonder if they're building something here.
Now, I would just put a bit of cold water on that and say this is one of the weakest Saracens teams I've seen in a long time. And I know it's still a Saracens team.
Phil, you called this win for Worcester, didn't you?
I said Worcester got a good chance, and then you two shouted me down.
Because you're an idiot.
And I agreed with you.
Well, I'm just having a little...
Well, weak. That's just weak-minded, Phil. That's weak-minded.
Exactly.
When you say weak, I mean, where are you seeing this weakness? Because all the players I'm looking at here, with the exception of Matt Gallagher, have got a lot of appearances this season, and a lot of them are season veterans.
Come on, you know, am I in a bad mood tonight? I don't understand it. It's like, of course, why are we debating that it's a weak Saracen side? That is a weak Saracen side.
It is a weak Saracen side. Yes.
Yeah.
Brits, Duplessis, Rhodes.
Of course
Rhodes,
it is. Look at all the internationals they've got away. It stands to reason.
Yeah, but they're a huge squad. This is what they should do. They should win these.
Let's lighten things up a little bit.
Right, shall we do the rest in a Tim style? Leicester won. Harlequins won. Catch us next week for the rugby podcast.
Let's do it in a JB style. Now, the third scrum in the Sale Newcastle game, I thought that it was a 24, not a 25 degree angle that the referee accused the loose head of boring
in
on.
That's interesting. I think it's interesting. Talking of, okay, let's just finish off with Saracens, which is, I thought the Wigglesworth try to thingy was incredible.
Ashton.
And they're going to miss him so much. They don't have any idea how much they're going to miss him, but they really will.
But they've played half of the last 2 years without him.
Yeah, but the previous 2 years been excellent.
He's a very good
and
player.
And like, who else sniffs out a try like that?
Yeah.
That was, I thought it was just a superb, superb natural.
Like a pick after truffles.
Exactly right, mate. Exactly right. And we'll move on from there because I can feel Tim getting agitated.
No. It's absolutely fine. I just know we've got a lot to...
Tell me this. I thought O'Callaghan was in trouble at Worcester. I thought they weren't playing him and leaving him on the bench and that sort of thing.
Well, all there was that thing around Christmas, was it where they didn't let him travel back to Ireland with his family.
Yeah.
And he went to Bristol and he was a travelling reserve.
Yes.
So he wasn't even in the matchday squad.
Yeah, that's it. So actually, no trouble at all.
Yeah. Just a couple of good messages on our Facebook Live feed. Paul Tinkler, we're talking about rugby and Valentine's Day. JB, you've come from training, as everyone can see by the kit that you're wearing. Yep. Lots of people just making sure that the mouse is in the house there with your shorts.
Yes, it is.
Good. Where is it? Paul Tinkler said, last year at rugby training, Valentine's Day fell on a training night and there was a record turnout from the lads.
Wow.
Did that happen tonight at Tok H?
At Didsbury Tok H Rugby Club. No, it didn't. It wasn't a bad turnout. It wasn't great. I don't know, 35 players. Not great for us. We're a huge club.
Massive club. Is that the same way that Sale's a massive
sleeping
club?
Giant is what I've heard, yeah.
It is. Well, you know, slowly awaking, third in the league. We'll do all right. We'll make the playoffs.
Paul Tigler said it was a record turnout from the lads. The hockey girls usually follow them on the AstroTurf at 8:15. They cancelled their session. So he just says he's astonished that we continue as a human race.
Yeah, good point. Good point, well made.
And then also lots of comments. Well, Chris Jane, a friend of the pod, Chris Jane, says JB looks like David Brent. Is David Brent posing on the desk?
Is he a friend? I don't know.
we had another comment on Twitter, a question on Twitter this week that I think might lighten things up a little bit.
Okay.
After getting too serious about whether or not Saracen were fielding a weakened team. Matt Hardy, it looks like, said, "Hi, newly into domestic rugby. I need to know everything, capital letters, about Bath rugby. What do I need to know?"
Okay, well, that's in. Well, so what are we going to do? Talk about Bath? Or give him some.
Oh, so we're
facts.
Giving a new convert fan to rugby who's come to us with a newfound passion for the game, and he wants to know more about Bath Rugby Club. He doesn't really know anything about them. I think we can help there, boys.
Yes, as the most informed podcast there is, I'm sure we can offer a bit of sage advice.
Okay, well...
There was a time when JB used to love Bath. Do you remember that?
I still love Bath. Look, I love all the teams in the Premiership equally.
Equally?
Well, yeah, well... So,
yeah.
Equally? Yeah, equally. Yeah, that's right.
Okay, well, there is a... Yeah, Bath is a strange one, actually, because there's a lot of rumours about Bath and when they first started. But actually, the Bath Rugby Club, as it is now, was started up during the Blair Premiership. And it was started up as an alternative to fox hunting after the ban.
It's true.
Interesting.
Mm.
So the community could gather there. And
they just need things,
as you say, I'm aware that... the fox hunting was banned. Bath Rugby Club began as a place for that crowd to go. And they decided to identify themselves with a fans uniform. So it wasn't just the players on the pitch that had a kit. It was like a fans kit as well, which is the obligatory mustard chinos, and tweed and barber jackets. And in fact, you're not allowed into the rec unless you're wearing mustard chinos, tweed and have a barber jacket.
That is
even on a hot day, you have to carry one in a bag.
That is true. They are very strict on that.
It's a legal obligation, I think.
It is. Well, talking of legal obligations, do you know what makes Bath a unique club?
No.
Or a unique town, actually?
Go on.
Playing football in Bath carries a custodial sentence. And it's unique in the Western world because you don't need a trial. You just go straight to jail.
Well, so not straight to execution.
No, it's actually.
Yeah.
You do go straight to jail. There is a process to go through, JB. They don't ignore the process, but the process is overseen by Overlord Bruce Craig, who was, before running Bath Rugby Club, a villain in a Bond movie.
Yeah. Not only was he a villain in a Bond movie, he could have been a villain in an actual movie because, was he not into pharmaceuticals? Big Pharma. You'll hate that, Tim. Big Pharma. And we don't mean the Gloucester type Big Pharma.
Very forward thinking, a Bath Rugby Club. Did you know that?
No, go on.
Very forward thinking. They're big into sports science.
Yeah.
And a number of their players have experimented with specialist post game supplements.
No. Is that right? Well, I've heard not only do they get their players from Bath University. In fact, you were at Bath University, weren't you, Tim?
I was.
Yeah, well, they actually twin up their sports science degrees with creative accounting degrees. And that comes in handy occasionally.
And that was Bath University, spelt B-A-R-T-H.
Yes.
Yes.
And that's how you know that you're a real fan.
Yeah.
If you spell it right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know who the current captain of Bath Rugby is?
Yes, I do. But why don't you tell us?
Current captain?
Yeah.
Sam Burgess.
Of course he is. Of course.
Vice captain?
Vice captain Carl Ferns.
Carl Ferns. And you know they've got a senior player leadership team made up of Matt Stevens, Justin Harrison, Alex Crockett and Andrew Higgins.
That's amazing. And they're managing the academy now, aren't they?
Their senior leadership team, academy and social secretaries as well.
Incredible. Wow. Well, I think that covers everything you need to know about Bath. I hope you appreciate that. And
I think it's only right we do the same for another club next time.
Yeah, if you want any alternative. If you want to know the real truth about your club, just ask us and we'll tell you.
No, let's open it up. Let's ask. You tell us the real truth about your club, and then when we do your club, we can include your real 100% true insight and fact.
Yeah, like it. It's good.
And we'll tell you the hashtag to use at the end of the pod.
Exactly.
Tease.
Quickly, very quickly, because I want to talk about two more games. Sale, I'm just going to say this. Denny Solomona, genuine star. If you don't want him in the England team, Tim, that's fine. We'll have him in the Welsh team. What?
He's not eligible for Wales.
We'll sort something out. What a player. What a player. I think he's got 5-5 or maybe even 6-6.
Correct.
Yeah, he looks like the real deal. I don't disagree. He's an excellent talent. Fantastic acquisition for them. A deadly finisher. Don't want him playing for England.
Cool. Leicester versus Gloucester. This is important.
Good win for Leicester. The kind of win that Leicester needed.
Yeah. Not only that, they look like they're playing a much faster brand of rugby.
But let's just caveat it by saying they were playing against Gloucester. And Gloucester away.
Yes. Well, see, I thought Gloucester were turning things around. I really did. I thought they were making small improvements.
They're an up and down team. Mm. They will have... at times they look brilliant, and at times Johnny May will run from pitch to pitch and then straight into...
consistently
wing
class.
To wing and then straight into touch.
I would just say about this, like, it's the sort of game I would expect it to be 20-15 to Leicester. I mean, having a 34-9 scoreline, I'm not sure if that is a massive credit to Leicester or if it's a huge disappointment to Gloucester, or maybe it's a bit of both.
It's a bit of both, I think. Yeah. Yeah.
So that concludes the Premiership, unless you want to add anything to Leicester. Hello,
no, just a really good... again, with the weather slightly improving, and it feels like today, it feels like spring has sprung a bit, doesn't it? So hopefully
today,
the conditions will get even better.
Yeah.
And there was just some really, really good games.
Agreed.
I really enjoyed it.
On the other side of the Irish Sea, or should I say in the Celtic Nations, were Zebre 10, Ospreys 40, Ulster 24, Edinburgh 18, Munster 45, Dragons 17, Glasgow 14, Scarlets 26, that's interesting, Treviso 14, Leinster 40, Cardiff Blues 13 Connacht 19.
Now, there were a couple of Ireland rugby fans that were like, you didn't talk about the Ireland-Italy game very much on the Six Nations podcast.
Pointless.
And believe us, right, when England play Italy in a couple of weeks, we will hardly talk about England-Italy because unless it turns out to be a more interesting game.
Yes.
Yeah. Just two things from this weekend's Pro 12. I mean, could these scores have gone any other way? No, because it's predictable and it's a terrible league. But
It is. These weeks when there's Six Nations and a country that has only two teams like Scotland,
yeah,
and it have all of their players away with the international, it is a terrible league when the Six Nations is on. And now, we have had actually some fans of Pro 12 sides going, do you know what? Actually, we shouldn't have Pro 12.
Yeah, now before,
we shouldn't have Pro 12 games during Six Nations.
Yeah, now, before you all start crying about JB hates Pro 12, okay, yeah, the league is a joke. And this is why it's a joke. It shouldn't be played now. There should be no games. Exactly as you said, Tim, you can't support a team with, you know, if you've got two teams and one of them is basically the entire Scotland team, you simply can't play Pro 12 rugby. It's bad enough as it is. And if you look at the Pro 12 table, it is depressingly familiar. The bottom six are terrible. The top six are good. There you go.
Very good.
Does the Premier League a bit like that this season?
No, I don't think so.
Six good teams, six quite mediocre teams.
Worcester just beat Saracens.
It does feel like when everyone's got their players, you've got six good teams, or really four good teams, then five okay teams, and then three not so good teams.
You are miles off. In Worcester, not exactly the...
Don't talk about JB Sale like that, Phil.
Yeah. Well, you know, actually, Sale would look like the weakest team, just in terms of star players. I mean, and they were in the Heineken Cup. If you look at... Sorry, European Cup. Bristol. I mean, there's a load of players there that would get into Pro 12 team. Worcester, same again. So, no. And I'm not saying they'd get into Leinster, but I am saying they would get into Edinburgh, they would get into Connacht, they would get into Cardiff, they'd get into Treviso, they'd get into to Zebre. That's just undeniable. It's undeniable.
I was dreadfully disappointed by Bristol this weekend because they had a brilliant chance against a weakened Quinns team and they got smashed.
Yeah, it's one of the worst ones.
Horrible game.
The only positive thing out of that game for Bristol was Varndell breaking the try-scoring record.
Yep, and anything else interesting on that? Yeah, Quinns have only picked up two bonus points all season away from home. You know, it's
so. Just to reiterate, the point I will make to Pro 12 fans is: come on, you have to agree that during this Six Nations period, it is just a shell of a competition. And when the big games come and the big name players are there, we will talk about it more. Just as when it's Ireland playing against France in a couple of weeks, we'll be talking about that, don't you worry, some depth.
I tell you how it's going to go. The Irish team's going to go from strength to strength. Connacht have had a bad year, but they've had some really good wins, i.e. Wasps. I mean, credit where it's due. I think Irish rugby is going to go from strength to strength now, and the Pro 12 is going to be dominated by the Irish teams. I think the success of Glasgow is going to bleed into to Edinburgh, such as Mark Bennett, such as Duncan Weir.
Yeah.
And then I think the Welsh and the Welsh and the Italian teams are basically going to prop up the rest of it, because outside of the Ospreys, Scarlets are pretty good, actually. But the other two are just...
Scarlets have some ups and downs.
They're just dross. Blues and Dragons. Dragons shouldn't exist. Dragons are Italian in their incompetence.
Right, you've said your piece on Pro 12.
I enjoyed that. I've not done that for a while.
You do it every other week.
Yeah, but you know, 2 weeks. I enjoyed it.
our friend Paul Tinkler on Facebook just said he reckons there's no way Bristol would spend money like that on Luatua, is it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, Luatua. Yeah. Unless Pat Lam had the inside track that they've already got ring fencing sorted.
Well, ask London Irish if they thought that.
Yeah.
So
it is interesting just how much they've spent and some of the players, well, players and coaches or coach they've brought in.
So. Mm. Do you want to talk about power rankings quickly?
Yeah. So JB, you bobbed a tweet out yesterday.
Yeah, Monday, that's right.
So and you did you combined the two leagues, the Pro 12 and the Aviva Premiership, the Avicii Premiership, sorry, and you combined them together and ranked the 24 teams from 1 to 24 in a way that in America, it's very, very common and happens on a weekly basis in what are called power rankings and influential people and thought leaders in American football journalists have their own power rankings, and it's a
hello. Where's he gone? There we go. Let down by Skype once again. Yeah, basically power rankings. We just combine the teams.
Hello, I'm here.
They're gone. Far away.
Oh no, I was just going to say. Yeah, it's it happens regular. Well, where did you get up to? What was the last thing you heard?
You were explaining power rankings, and then I was about to read them out.
Oh yeah, so I was just wondering. So what, I know it's not based on the league table entirely. No. It's based on kind of form, the result that's just happened.
Yeah, if they were to play each other today.
Yeah.
So it's almost impossible. It's just fun because it's almost impossible, isn't it? Because you know Worcester might beat Saracens, but there's no way they're beating Tigers, Northampton, so on and so forth. You know, and there you go. So yeah, I kind of put them together. Do you want to hear how the rankings go?
Just go for the
top.
Yeah,
and by the way, just before you do this, because I would love to see, as it was someone on Twitter mentioned it actually, that they would love to see the two leagues combine in a Super Bowl fashion with a winner of the Avicii Premiership play the winner of the Pro 12.
Yeah, do you know what?
Final of finals.
I could go for that. I could go for that, except I think it'd undermine the European Cup, which is my favourite competition. That's the only big deal there. So I'll just give you my top six. Saracens, Leinster, Munster, Wasps, Exeter, Glasgow and Bath. Is that six or is that seven? Seven. I'll go eight, Ulster. And yes. Then from eight, so the bottom eight going from worst to best, if you can call them the best. Zebra, Benetton, Newport Gwent Dragons, Bristol, Cardiff, Worcester, Edinburgh.
Sailor a bit high for my liking.
They're better than all those other dross. So we're a Sale. Oh, they're ahead of Newcastle.
Ahead of Newcastle.
You put
Gloucester.
Sale ahead of Newcastle, yeah.
Well, to be fair, Sale did just beat Newcastle.
They did.
At home.
True.
Well, they did it, didn't they?
They did win. So I can confirm
yeah,
they
there
won.
There you go. Shall we do the predictions for this week, then?
That sounds good to me.
What are we on? We're doing well for time here. 10 minutes. Look
one brief one, then, just before we get into the predictions. It is Valentine's Day. So if there was a rugby player that you would just give advice and say under no circumstances introduce that player to your wife, who would that be for you?
Tom
Vandell.
The
obvious ones are like Tom Vandell. Well, in case he passes on sensitive information about what you get up to. Sergio Parise, obviously, even though he's an aging.
Oh, but what an aging hunk.
Oh yeah, Mike Phillips.
Mike Phillips, Big Gav.
Sonny Bill.
Oh yeah, no, Mike Phillips is definitely up there. Definitely seen some of his private messages.
Tommy Bow.
Oh yes, Tommy Bow.
that you probably would introduce Tommy Bow to your Mrs. Phil. You
might take her. Say, take
what,
her.
What about it? Can I watch from the cupboard?
I mean, being serious, I think I can't say his name because that's not the right guy, and he's already sued a load of people once. I was going to say Leon Britton, but that's the MP, and I'm thinking of who the hell is the Gloucester player?
Leon, oh,
who's Britton, wasn't he?
Oh no,
went to London Welsh. I'm sure his name is Britton. Oh,
I'm not even sure.
Yes, you do. Britton.
Like the hooker who was taking pictures of hookers.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Corey
Britton.
Corey Britton.
Is it Corey Britton?
Was he not Exeter? Oh, was he Exeter?
No, he's Gloucester, London Welsh.
Yes.
Son of Leon Britton.
He went to the local
Britton.
Baths, didn't he? He got caught.
Yeah.
Yes.
God, taking a picture.
God, he must only be about 25 or 26 now.
I feel sorry. No, I don't. Yeah, Corey Britton, son of Leon Britton. I probably not introduce myself to him either. There you go. Yeah.
Thanks.
Good. Right.
Yes,
games.
Good.
Do you want to talk about next week's games? Should we do all of them? Should we do Pro 12 first?
Pro 12 first.
Pro 12.
Yeah, let's get into it.
Friday night.
Leinster, Edinburgh.
Leinster.
Scarlet Zebra.
Scarlets.
Cardiff, Treviso.
Cardiff.
Ulster, Glasgow.
Ulster.
Ospreys, Munster.
Ospreys.
Mm, that's interesting.
That'll be interesting. That'll be a good game.
I think Munster's second 15 are far better than Ospreys' second 15. Mm. But it is at Ospreys. Connacht Dragons.
Connacht.
There you go. All right. Let's get into the rugby. Gloucester versus Saracens. At Gloucester.
Give me Saracens.
Okay.
The Borg are going through a system reboot, and they will be back in winning ways this weekend.
They will regenerate, I can confirm.
Does the system reboot normally involve flying out to some city? German city, perhaps?
Switching them off and then switching them all on again, yeah.
Well, it's a hard reset, normally via about 15 steins of lager.
Yes, that's right. Why are they flying out again somewhere?
It's what they normally seem to do.
I'm sure they did it the other week.
They do it every other week, don't they?
Yeah. God, I'd love to play for Saracens. Leicester versus Bristol.
Leicester. Leicester at home.
Leicester.
Big win.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now it gets tasty. Bath Harlequins.
Bath.
Bath at home.
Yeah.
I think Bath at home as well.
Didn't Quins win on the road last week?
Against Bristol.
It was on the road, wasn't it?
It was on the road, but it was against Bristol. Mm.
But it was against Bristol, yeah.
Worcester, Exeter. At Worcester. With some important players back.
But Exeter lose so few players.
They do, don't they?
Yeah.
And they lose, so well organised.
They lose Thomas Francis.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Noel. And that's it.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right.
Give me Exeter.
Yeah, that's not a bad shout. No,
so they lose their Exeter lose their best player and their third choice tight head.
Yeah. Yes. Fourth choice.
Yes.
Okay. Newcastle, Northampton. Now this is interesting because we already know what will happen here because we saw it in Franklin's Gardens, and Newcastle won.
Newcastle did win thanks to a red card for Kieran Brooks.
I don't think you're being completely fair there. They played some okay rugby some of the times.
Showering them with praise.
Well, on a serious note, here's what they do have. Sacchino, who is electric. Hodgson pulls the strings very well. Gonover.
I mean,
they don't... Whatever they pay him, not enough. Snotty's back.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys aren't bad. If they don't fall victim to the Northampton power game, I think they'll turn them over. And being on the plastic pitch, I'm going to go Newcastle.
Northampton have been playing quite well recently.
They're getting there.
They were close. They could have won that against Bath, which is a hell of a place to go.
Does no Dylan Hartley hurt them?
No.
No. Of course it doesn't.
But it's worth pointing out, like I say, I felt sorry for Northampton, but their next three games are Newcastle, then Sale, then Worcester.
Worcester, yeah. Yep.
If they don't get three wins, it's game over for Northampton for this season.
Oh yeah. Well, do you not think it's pretty much over anyway? Where's the gap? Is it from? There's a bit of
they are 9 points off fourth place,
yeah,
as it stands with eight games left.
Well, the end of their season running is absolutely minging. They've got all of the big teams, so I think it's probably done already. But
yeah,
they're going to struggle to even get top six if they don't get three wins, I think.
I agree.
Yes.
And now, probably the biggest game of the weekend. almost definitely. Wasps, who are doing well without their internationals, are going to the AJ Bell. I will probably go and watch this. Do you want to come, Phil?
Sunday?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool, we'll do
Why
that.
Why not?
What game? Oh, we're not missing any games because there's no Six Nations. Brilliant. Yeah, Sale.
Give me Wasps.
You're wrong. I tell you what, Sale will win this.
So you last week predicted a Newcastle win.
Yep.
Which means that you are at least seven games on the bounce. You've predicted the incorrect result for Sale.
Yep.
And you're going to continue...
Incorrect result for your team.
Hear me now, believe me later, Sale.
So you're going to continue your losing run of predicting Sale scores?
No, this is going to break that run.
Is there some kind of inverse
JB Cup
that you're going for?
Maybe. Sale will win this. I think they'll be able to support.
I completely forgot to say, actually, there's one thing that happened to me at the rec on Friday night. It was so Baltic.
It looked horrible.
So cold. I'm so glad for the spring-like weather to come, but it was snowing. It was just absolutely bitter, biting wind. And I was doing the interviews with the directors of rugby and stuff before the game. And I was quite aware before I went to talk to Todd Blackadder, bit of a man crush on him, as I've talked about before.
Yeah, naturally. But
I was quite aware that I could barely feel my face and I was struggling to talk. You know, when you're that cold, you haven't got control of the muscles in your mouth.
I find that quite often.
So I went and asked him the question about George Ford and Freddie Burns. Mm-hmm. Said, right, you know, that there's been more talk about George Ford, but this time with Freddie Burns. And then I said, because I just couldn't speak properly, with Freddie Burns going the other gay.
Oh, no. Oh, dear.
How did he react? Did he just brush it off?
No, I corrected myself. I said, we're going the other gay. I mean, other way. But it just sounded like some sort of Freudian slip. I just wanted to put, for the record, I couldn't feel my face.
So there's nothing in it, Tim. You're not starting another rumour.
Hey, listen, I do you know what? After, who was it? It was Gareth Thomas, Nigel Owens. I'd hope that more rugby players would feel comfortable. So just as a general thing, I'm a bit surprised no one else has come out and said, yeah.
I've got a theory on this.
Go on.
Is it worth me putting this theory out? No, forget it. I'm not going to go there because it won't finish off well.
Okay. That'll be this new restrained, like self-editing JB is just unbelievable. Phil, we've been doing this for long enough. I'm still not used to this.
Yeah. Well, there are times when I do think, why can't he be like this in real life?
it's nothing to you, but forget it. Right, okay, so there we go. We'll be back when? Sunday?
Sunday.
Yeah.
What are you doing on Sunday, Tim? Do you fancy a trip to the AJ Bell?
No.
Okay. Okay, guess we'll go to the AJ Bell without you, and we'll be podcasting in the Rugby Dungeon, as usual, about 8 o'clock for you Facebook Livers. And we'll see you there.
Nice one.
Thank you very much, Tim.
Enjoy the rest.
Enjoy your night with keeping your socks on.
I will do. And you enjoy going home. It's 12:10 now, so one hour, 10 minutes.
I finished my live radio show absolutely ages ago, and I'm not at all about to go and resume the show until 11 o'clock. After I've done the bit that's pre-recorded. Not at all. Would never do such a thing.
Superb. Right, bye-bye.
Nice one.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.